Guys, my name is Trisha. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from perfectionism, fear of man, self-sufficiency, and misplaced identity. Hello. I'm grateful to say that I grew up in a family of believers that raised me to love church and to know God. I accepted Jesus as my Savior at a very young age, believing Romans 10:9 through 10 to be true, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. I had only ever heard that when you meet Christ, your life radically changes, but there wasn't much obvious life change that could occur as a six-year-old. So I assumed that accepting Jesus as my Savior wasn't enough, and now I need to spend the rest of my life proving to him and to everyone else that I was worth dying for. Most of my life, I viewed God as an eternally disappointed father, always waiting for me to mess up so he could give me the "I told you so" speech. His love and affection seemed so unattainable, so I turned my attention to the people around me, willing myself to fit into whatever mold I needed to in order to receive love in return. Of course, it was never enough, and I found myself stuck in friendships that were one-sided, unfulfilling, and left me feeling even more unworthy and undesirable. I was spiraling in self-loathing and insecurities about my physical appearance and had no idea who I really was. Many days were spent standing in front of a mirror and crying over a body and a life that I hated. I couldn't look past my flaws to find anything worth loving. Failing to attain that all-satisfying love I was searching for in myself and in others, I tried to find it in secret behind closed doors. In high school, I had somehow stumbled across a pornographic website, and this started a 5 to 6 year long addiction to pornography and masturbation. And while it would satisfy momentarily, crippling shame was quick to follow. Those years of my life were marked by depression, masked in my good Christian girl persona. I've never felt more alone or unworthy of God's love than I did during that time. I remember Sunday mornings looking around my church and feeling like I was certainly the only girl in the room that did what I did the night before, because I'd only ever heard that sin be addressed to men and always in a condemning way. So I was terrified of being found out and vowed to never tell a soul. I would just get myself cleaned up and back in the good graces of God, and no one had to be the wiser. I felt very much like David when he wrote Psalm 32:3 through 4. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I believe that I had no safe space to be broken, because if I shared with anyone, especially with God, they would see me the way I saw myself, and I would quickly be abandoned. Until one vulnerable moment in college where a trusted friend, who was maybe the first friend to ever really make me feel accepted for who I was, listened while I shared my struggle with her and met me like Jesus would. She heard what I had to say and saw me no differently. She didn't run away and is still one of my closest friends to this day. This gave me the courage to share it again and then again and again, and now I'm here before all of you, and I may not be if it wasn't for how she responded to my sin that day. Through confession over many years, I've gotten to experience verse 5 of Psalm 32, which says, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Through confession, living in the light and the power of the Spirit, I have found freedom from addiction. However, I was still desperate to manage other people's perception of me and live up to unattainable standards I placed on myself. And in weak moments when fear, stress, or loneliness made me lose trust in God's faithfulness, I would cope with old sin patterns, and shame was quick to meet me there again. When I knew I could confess to trusted friends and wouldn't lose them, while I knew I could confess to them, I wasn't yet confident in how God felt about me. I was still anxious to be a perfect representation of Christ to the watching world and to be desirable to the people around me. It's an exhausting way to live, and I knew I couldn't go on holding the opinion of others as the ultimate definer of my worth. 4.5 years ago, I started working at and attending Watermark and heard about this ministry called Regeneration. As someone who would have done anything to fix myself, this felt like exactly what I needed. I remember my first day here and in pride, thinking that I wasn't as bad as some of the other people there because all I need to work on was pride and perfectionism. Ironic and sinful, just as sinful as anything else. Thankfully, as the weeks went on, I remembered the power of confession and prayer, as James 5:16 states, and was determined to be as vulnerable and authentic as I could. I remember clearly the moment I read Romans 7:18 in step one and feeling so seen and understood. It says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." It perfectly captured my desperation to be perfect and the total frustration I felt being incapable of doing the right thing on my own. I knew God was calling me to surrender, but I needed to rebuild, or maybe build for the first time, trust in his goodness and love for me. When I got to step 4, inventory, I noticed patterns in my sexual inventory that were surprisingly similar to my other harms and fears inventories. I began to understand that even back in the middle of my addiction, pornography and masturbation weren't my real issues. They were just a symptom of my underlying problem that also manifests in many other ways. My underlying issue was that I didn't trust God's love for me and in turn sought to fill that hole with anything that could bring me temporary relief from feeling undesirable and unworthy. But all along, God was whispering that his grace is sufficient for me and that if he expected me to be perfect, to be worthy of his love, he wouldn't have needed to send his son Jesus to die in my place. Through my time in Region, I learned how to accept daily grace and release my control on other people's perceptions of me. Step 8, forgiveness, was also very impactful for me. I had no idea I was holding on to so much bitterness towards others. But working through my inventory one person at a time and choosing empathy and compassion for each one, I found an immense sense of freedom. I realized that if Jesus chose sacrifice and forgiveness for my sin, I could extend that same grace towards others. I also learned that I don't have to carry the burden of forgiving my own sin because Jesus alone can pardon what I cannot and is my advocate before the Father. The end goal of Region is not perfection, but learning new, healthy tools like community, inventory, and amends to faithfully wrestle with sin and look more like Christ. I'm certainly not perfect and continue to wrestle with new sin, old sin, and similar patterns that were revealed to me in inventory. Currently, I fight situational anxiety and depression, pride, selfishness, sexual desire outside of God's plan, and I often struggle to trust God with my future. However, I now understand that God is not disappointed or ashamed of these things, and I can grasp his love for me in a way I never could before. I now also see that not only does God love me, he also delights in me and enjoys when I come to him even in my messiest state. He is not an eternally disappointed father, but a father who lavishes love and good gifts on all of us whom are equally undeserving and incapable of earning it. Christ died for you and me before our first breath, let alone our first sin. Let this give you peace that his love and sacrifice truly is sufficient to cover all of your sins, past, present, and future. Shame once told me that I must be clean before crawling to my father's feet. Truth now tells me that my father finds me as I am, picks me up, puts me on his lap, and cleans up what I cannot. And the same is true for you. If this is your first time here, and you may be thinking that all of this sounds nice, but it couldn't be true for you because your sin is greater, I promise it's not. You're not the exception to God's grace. He knows you, he sees you, and he knows what brought you here. In fact, it was him who led you to this place, maybe even just to hear that he loves you and has better in mind for you. Many have gone before you, and I want you to know you are not alone in your struggle. Let God's strength be perfected in your weaknesses and boast in your weaknesses tonight. Bring what is now in the dark into the light. We are not surprised that broken people living in a broken world make broken decisions. If you've been in Region for a while and are tempted to give up and try again later, there is never going to be a better time to seek healing than now. Remember the commitment that you made to yourself on the first day and ask God to help you push past excuses and seek the counsel of others. Look around you. We are all in this together. There is no better place to be on a Monday night than in the presence of a group of admittedly broken people seeking the one who can put them back together better than before. My name is Trisha. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from perfectionism, fear of man, self-sufficiency, and misplaced identity. And to God, the definer of my worth, I give all glory and praise.